Welcome, everybody. This is Chrissy Lynch. Jan Carson is on vacation, so it's just me today. I am Stephanie Passanella. She is the Vice President of Standards Development for the Council on Accreditation, and she will be presenting today some of her recent releases and current developments and future initiatives.
I just want to make sure, Chrissy, did all the members receive the slides that I shared with you?
Yes, they were sent out today.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to, there's just an outline of, you know, what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. And just want to thank you for inviting me to your meeting. And I tried to kind of narrow down the content of my discussion to what I thought you'd be most interested in, but I'm interested in hearing from you as well, so please feel free to jump in and ask me questions. And just for full disclosure, I work with a fabulous, smart team of colleagues at COA, and they all play a role in many of the projects that I'm going to talk about today, so I might not be able to give you a full answer if you have a question, but I promise to follow up after the call if I need to get you further information. My contact information is also at the end of the slide, so you can feel free to reach out to me anytime after this meeting as well. So the first thing I was just going to touch base on are some of the more recent releases and updates in our standards. So these have come out in probably within the past 6 months or so. The first one is the Youth Psychosocial Services. This is a brand new service section that was developed for organizations that provide this type of program. The nice thing about it is that it also works for wraparound models as well, which is nice if you have one of these programs and have been through the accreditation process. You know, in the past that it often required us to assign multiple service sections for wraparound models, so now we can fit them into this one section. And, you know, the focus is on this holistic approach that incorporates all the systems of care that youth might access when they have complex needs, incorporates family, and making sure to connect them with pro-social community activities. The next item I have on here is for standards for individuals that are experiencing homelessness, and this update took into account a number of service sections, including our shelter services, outreach services, and supported community living services, which as part of this update ended up being renamed Housing Stabilization and Community Living Services, so now it's HSCL, to better reflect the models that are assigned to that section. As part of those updates, we strengthened standards to better address the needs of children and youth in receiving these services. Also, services for pregnant and parenting individuals, safety and inclusiveness for individuals identifying as LGBTQ, family reconnection and reconciliation for youth, trauma-informed care, and suicide prevention. Those are some of the areas that were really strengthened in each of those sections of standards. Regarding the disaster recovery case management standards, that was a section that previously the intent was for case management services that are provided in the wake of a natural disaster. And we updated those to provide some further guidance for organizations that are responding to incidents of mass violence victimization. Really, the content in there is focused on trauma-informed and culturally responsive practices, mental health first aid, suicide prevention, and also providing support for the direct service providers that really work in these high-intensity crisis-type situations.
Stephanie, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Sure.
Stephanie, this is Pat. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I wonder if people who are on the phone could mute their phones. I don't know if I'm hearing road noise.
Yes, I'm getting some background noise as well.
Okay, sounds like somebody just muted their phone. Thank you very much. Let's continue.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you hear me better now, Pat?
A little bit.
Okay.
How about this? Is this better?
Excellent.
Okay, great. So the next update is related to the Indian Child Welfare Act. And again, this impacted several sections of standards, including child protective services, family foster care and kinship care, family preservation and stabilization, adoption services, guardianship services. And the main focus of those changes were really related to the updates in the 2016 Indian Child Welfare Act, which focused mostly on properly identifying American Indian and Alaskan Native children, the personnel competencies that are necessary, improving adoptive parents' understanding of ICWA, and also supporting tribal collaboration and integration and throughout the service delivery process. Family preservation and stabilization, these were more sort of general updates just in relation to evidence-based practices provided as part of this service. Again, trauma-informed care, cultural responsiveness, suicide prevention, and also working with individuals who identify as LGBTQ. And then the last one on here is that I had noted was in relation to our standards for out-of-school time programs. Some of you may be familiar with our standalone product. We have a separate product that can be used to accredit programs for, in the past we called them child and youth development standards, after school standards. We renamed them as part of this, and this was a complete overhaul to that standalone product. The changes that we made will also be carried over to the service section that is part of our larger book of standards for youth development programs. And so, yes, we renamed them out of school time to better reflect the range of programs as well as some of the terminology used in the field, which can vary. And the other interesting part of this is that we created these new supplements that organizations can or programs can use. They're not mandatory, but they really help to highlight some of the best practices in these areas when the programs incorporate them as part of their model. So these are things like art education and enrichment, college and career readiness, health and wellness, homework help, mentoring. And again, they kind of offer the opportunity to sort of highlight those programs or sort of give some extra credit to those organizations that are focusing on that aspect in their program. So I'll pause right there for a second. As I said, those are things that have been released. Next, I'll talk about some of the things that are going to be coming out. But if there are any questions about those releases, I'm happy to answer them at this time.
It's an impressive list of what's been done lately, Stephanie.
Thank you. Yes, like I said, we have a great team of staff at COA who has been working hard to maintain our standards in line with current practices, and with the way that services are constantly changing, it is a big job. So I'm grateful mm-hmm. for their collaboration. So next, the next slide really focuses on what kind of we have going in the works, what's in the works. These are things that are going to be released within the next few months, probably by the summertime. And the first one on this list is behavior support and management. So last fall, we convened two panels to review our behavior support and management standards and update them. And the focus of that update was really to emphasize that collaborative approach to behavior support planning, emphasizing the use of really proactive interventions prior to the need for a crisis response, and approaching that treatment through the trauma-informed lens. We've also limited the scope of the behavior support and management section to address personnel specifically involved in BSM. We have, in the past, we also addressed foster care as part of BSM, but we pulled that out, and that will be included as part of the next thing that we have on here around the family foster care and kinship care services. We moved those standards that are and rewrote them so that they are more specific to sort of how that behavior management happens in a foster care placement. So that's going into the family foster care section. In addition to the behavior support and management piece in there, we've also been working on strengthening some additional new areas of practice in that section, including promoting family engagement, support for expectant and parenting youth, family reunification, resource family assessments. I think that's sort of the emphasis in that section. Some of that work came from the updates that we made in our public agency book and carrying over some of that research and just, again, keeping them in line with current practice. And then the last one I have here is a new section that we're working on for unaccompanied children. And we've seen a number of these programs amongst our accredited organizations and have attempted to sort of slot them into existing service sections, but really due to the involvement of ORR and the regulations that guide these programs, we determined that a more tailored section would be a better fit. And we have spoken with ORR and have done an extensive review of the regulations and are trying to tailor a section that really would be used just for those services that are for unaccompanied children. And that those are children who are under the age of 18, who don't have a lawful immigration status in the U.S., and are not under the care of a parent or legal guardian. The real goal in this section will be to address those types of programs like shelter and other supports for these children, as well as reunification efforts. They'll also address post-release services and home study services. We had tried to integrate some of that into other existing sections, but it really became overcomplicated. So we decided to take this new approach and integrate them into this section. So again, those are sort of the main areas of current updates that are going to be coming out in the near future. Any questions about those?
Yeah, this is Pat again, always with questions. So if these are released in the next few months, when will they go into effect?
So the way that the system works is that for any organization who comes into process following their release, that's when they'll apply. If an organization is already in process, they'll continue to use the standards that are currently on our website. We have a portal that organizations work in where their standards are assigned. And so once they get those, they're in process and their standards are assigned in their portal, those are the standards that apply to them. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. As far as current trends, and this is really where I'm looking for input from all of you in relation to how COA can support these types of trends. These are two that are really on our radar, the Family First Prevention Services Act and more generally around addiction treatment. So I know that you're all aware of the Family First Act, and COA has been designated as one of the accrediting bodies for the residential treatment providers. So we are paying close attention to how this continues to unfold and how states begin to implement it to make sure that our standards are aligned with whatever requirements are for those programs. And based on current information that has been released and some of the criteria around those programs, we are very much in line with them, but it is pretty general. So again, we're just continuing to track this effort and see how it unfolds, and we'll make any additions, changes, updates to our standards to make sure that we are complying with that. The other thing that I'll just note is that we are maintaining a list of articles on our website with information on the legislation and other articles in relation to this act. So if you're looking for information, I would encourage you to check it out. There's an extensive list on there and links directly to articles. And then in relation to addiction treatment, we are seeing an increase in some of the mandates around accreditation in this area. And with the opiate epidemic, it's created some, an opportunity, so to speak, for these service providers. And some are really trying to do their best with the resources that they have at hand. But unfortunately, we've also seen some providers take advantage of this. So it's hard because what we are seeing in practice is not necessarily established in the research and best practice. So we're really trying to start some conversations to make sure that we're on the same page as we begin to see more of these programs and preparing for new models that are effective and what organizations are doing to meet this need in their communities. And so that way we can continue to keep our standards in line with what's happening on the ground and reflecting what best practice is, and also identifying where there is poor practice hoping to move the field away from that. So I'm very interested in any thoughts that you have in relation to our standards and COA as an accreditor in either of these areas, opportunities for further conversations or resources that are out there that you would point us to so that we can continue to support the organizations as part of our members.
Stephanie, this is Steve Girelli in Connecticut. I don't have a suggestion but a question. Do you anticipate having a set of standards for those congregate care programs that would operate under the Family First Act?
So currently we have both group living services standards and residential treatment services standards. And based on the information that is part of the act and sort of the criteria that has been laid out, both of those sections would meet those criteria. That said, that's kind of why we're continuing to sort of monitor how this unfolds to see if those sections need adjustments or if we need to, in fact, develop a new set of standards. But at this point, it seems like either the group living or residential treatment services standards will suffice.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so that's in relation to the QRTPs, the Qualified Residential
mm-hmm.
Treatment Programs.
Do mm-hmm.
do you have accreditation standards for family-based residential treatment for substance use disorders, where both
the parents and
the children?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our both of those sections also address that type of setting as well.
And
there's mixtures of sort of combinations of standards that we can apply within those sections, whether depending on the population that's being served. So those are in there, or we can remove them if that's not the setup.
Mm-hmm. But in the Family First Act, I know QRTPs are going to be required to be accredited by COA mm-hmm. or CARF or the Joint Commission. I'm not remembering whether the family-based residential treatment for substance use disorders are required to be accredited.
As part of the Act?
I don't think they are. As part of the Act, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We can look closer at that. Devin has been, I don't know exactly, I think it just says qualified residential treatment programs. I don't know if they specifically state substance abuse.
Okay.
We can look closer at the language. And but again, the way that the our standards are written, it can accommodate either model, whether it's a substance abuse program or just a family-based residential program where they are getting that outpatient substance abuse service separately.
So are there plans to increase your capacity to accredit new organizations?
It is something that we are definitely monitoring and can accommodate additional programs at this point in time, but you know, we will continue to track the incoming organizations and increase our resources if needed.
I guess we've noticed it mostly when states, especially a gigantic state like California, begins to require accreditation for programs and facilities, you know, for which it was not required before. I'm not as familiar with COA processes as I am with some of the others, so I'm just curious what your recruitment and training process is around new, you don't call them surveyors, you call them reviewers, peer reviewers?
Yes, peer reviewers, yes.
And
yeah.
This is probably not in your bailiwick, but...
No, it's not. But we do have a team that is set up, our volunteer management department, and they do all of our volunteer training and recruitment, and we are... usually a lot of that, we are going to the organizations that are currently accredited that have recently been through the process and looking for volunteers through those accredited organizations to participate as a volunteer going forward and reviewing other organizations. And organizations find a lot of value in that, having someone trained as a reviewer, both from the experience that they gain going to other organizations and learning how other organizations do it, as well as kind of bringing that accreditation experience back to their own organization as they go through the reaccreditation process in the future. So we do a lot of recruitment through that, and that's a majority of our volunteers are from other organizations or are from retired that were previously part of accredited organizations. And we have a peer training that we do and we offer at our COA offices. And I think the schedule is probably on our website regarding the next training opportunity. But I can definitely put you in touch with someone if anyone is interested. Just email me and I can put you in touch with Daryl, who oversees our volunteer management process. And he'd be happy to give you further information on that.
Great, thanks.
Any other questions about this? Any thoughts about what you're seeing, particularly from the youth perspective regarding addiction treatment? We've been seeing, like, for example, these recovery homes, and different models of them, different staffing models in them, and really kind of looking to the field to help us identify what best practice is in this area, because it's changing significantly to deal with this growing need. We're trying to make sure that our standards continue to apply to those programs as they continue to grow and develop.
Do you reach out to the state provider associations or their national organization, NOSAC?
Yes, we do. We have a relationship with them, and yes, we do.
I
have a question, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm a PQI coordinator at Jackson Field here in Southern Central Virginia, and we just went through our COA accreditation, and we became reaccredited, actually, this past September. And I'm trying to build or strengthen the PQI program here, and I'm looking at your next to last slide, and you were talking about future initiatives regarding sharing data. I'm interested in trying to find some benchmarks to use to gauge our standards within the industry for the residential treatment facilities for children. Is this part of your initiative, or do you already have this data that I can tap into? I'm newly hired to this organization. I've been here for a little less than a year, and I'm looking for information like that. Would COA be able to provide me with that, or is this something that you're going to build in the future?
Yeah, so that is something we can jump into that next slide and talk a little bit about that. But that is something that we're moving towards in the future, and we don't have that information to share at this point. But we are looking to build that into our accreditation process in the future, and we'll be I think hosting a number of panels and group discussions to review some of that information. So if you want to email me afterwards, I can put you in touch with the person who is leading that initiative, Patrick Nylon, and he can give you information about where we're headed with some of that information and our plans for the future in that regard, and you know, sort of what we're looking at.
Okay, I need to touch base with him. Now, let me just ask you this, and I know you just gave me the point of contact, but this shared data, the big picture, is it going to be voluntary or is it going to be a requirement as long as we are accredited with COA to share our data?
I don't know the answer to that question yet. Okay. It's still something that we are working on developing.
Okay, you answered my questions. Thank you.
Any other questions? So then I'll just kind of building on that, we at COA recently had a new strategic plan approved by our board on March 23rd. And in light of the priorities that have been identified as part of our strategic plan, we're embarking on a number of initiatives. This is not the full list of them, but these are some of the areas that I thought you would all be most interested in, and kind of wanted to give you the heads up about, because there are opportunities for you to contribute to the development and outcomes of each of these efforts. The first one is about streamlining accreditation, both from looking at our standards as well as our process and trying to identify some of those pain points or areas in our process and our standards that require the most resources for organizations as they go through the process and trying to improve upon them. So we have identified a number of those based on surveys that have been conducted, but we are planning to develop and, well, are developing some further opportunities, including surveys and focus groups with panels, probably with members, and we'll be looking for additional input regarding some of those areas that have been identified to really sort of nail down and get down to the specifics of what it is that organizations spend the most time on in the process. Where can we strengthen the process? What models of accreditation would you like to see in the future that would help to increase the value of COA accreditation to the organization? So I would highly encourage you to either reach out to me following this presentation if you're interested in being involved in any of those efforts, or if you see something kind of come your way, take the time to participate and provide your feedback, because it really will impact the direction in the future. Another part of that, one of those efforts is about sharing data and collecting information from organizations in relation to both demographics and benchmarking, and identifying what data would be most valuable for COA to collect and share with organizations, what our role in that can be and should be, and where organizations would find the most value from that process. And our goal, again, we don't want to conflict with our other initiative of streamlining accreditation and creating more work for organizations. We really want this to be a value-added service, and want to hear from organizations how we can best approach that. So again, we're in the sort of research days and gathering the input and the information that we have, and trying to identify some of the potential approaches to doing some of this. We'll be looking to the field and to our members to respond to that and provide some input and feedback in relation to shaping the direction of that in the future. And similarly, around better understanding the impact of accreditation, really, again, same kind of in the process of researching and collecting input satisfaction information that really helps organizations to understand what the impact of accreditation is and what kind of information would be useful for organizations going forward, so that they can use that information about accreditation and what was most impactful in the process, and really where accreditation has added value in the organization. So these are things that are sort of longer term projects that are currently in the planning research phase, and again, we'll be seeking input from the field. So if you're interested in getting involved, feel free to reach out and keep your eyes peeled if you are currently an accredited organization for some requests for your input on each of these areas. So that was sort of the areas that I was planning to highlight and information that I wanted to share with all of you. I'm more than happy to answer any further questions around this, but if you prefer to reach out to me after the call, I've included my contact information and am happy to also talk over the phone separately or via email anytime.
Stephanie, this is Steve again. I have a quick question. The last of the strategic initiatives, is the goal of that for COA to better understand from the accredited organization standpoint the impact of accreditation, or is it for COA to help accredited organizations and potential organizations that are considering accreditation to anticipate what benefits might accrue from that, or is it sort of both?
I would say it's both. Steve, yeah, okay. I would say the effort is both.
Okay.
We always want to provide organizations with information that will help them in other ways to really share what that value is, mm-hmm. but we want to understand as well so that we can continue to build on that and make our product more valuable for organizations.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Stephanie, for all of these, you know, things that you've put out there for feedback on, when is it most helpful to hear from people at COA-accredited organizations, and when is it also helpful to hear from people at organizations that are not accredited by COA?
I would say the sooner the better. These are, like I said, these are part of our goals and our strategic plan, so we are moving forward with them full speed. And right now is really our research and planning phase, and we will have a real specified period that we're proposing some ideas to the field over the course of this, probably later this year. But, you know, I would encourage anyone to reach out sooner rather than later if you are, even if you just want to say, hey, include me, make sure I'm included in any outreach that you do for input on these topics, just so, you know, you can stay informed.
Even if they're not from a COA-accredited
sure.
organization? Oh, great.
Sure.
Thank you.
This is Chrissy Lynch from Devereaux, and I can attest to that. One of our centers who will be talking about their COA visit recently, I had a call with one of the reviewers, and actually all of the future initiatives from the strategic plan, there were questions directed to me about that. So I thought that was really interesting. I've never had a reviewer ask somebody from more of a corporate setting those kind of questions and that kind of feedback. So I appreciated that, and I think that it's really great how much you are trying to be responsive and receptive to the field itself. One of the questions
yeah.
I would have, though, how is it best to get organizations that are not accredited by COA and may be looking at it, how is it best to get the word out to them?
We will probably do that significantly through our relationships with our sponsoring and supporting organizations, which NACBH is one of them, but we have a number of relationships with other associations that have members that are not accredited, and we'll use our relationship with them to hopefully get a lot of that out. But we would also encourage, organizations that are accredited, if you are, and as well as our volunteers in the field, to share these efforts and the opportunity to reach out to COA. To please feel free to get in touch with us. But normally what we do is we reach out through our sponsoring and supporting organizations and ask them to share that information with their members.
Great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be happy to do it, Stephanie.
Great. Thank you very much. I mean, it really is important to us to be able to respond to the needs of the field. And even when we're kind of going back to that earlier question about non-members, when we develop standards or host these types of panels or forums for discussion, our effort is always to be very inclusive in the representatives on those, you know, as part of those discussions, and that they have a variety of different roles in the field, whether they are just subject matter experts, researchers, members from our accredited organizations, unaccredited organizations, associations, and others that are really in touch with those topics. It's really important for us to gather all of those perspectives, and then it's our job to really synthesize all of that information to make sure we really get down to what the common themes are and help to guide our direction in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Okay, well, thank you very much for inviting me today. And again, feel free to reach out if there's any further questions or you're interested in additional information on any of the things that I shared today.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you very much for making time.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. All right. Have a good afternoon.
You as well.
Bye-bye.